You're listening to In the Vault, a KPMG banking industry podcast series.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Liz Lomdu, a principal in KPMG's banking and capital markets tax practice. Today, I'm joined by my colleagues, Vince Sicacci and Greg Swieger. Vince is a partner in our credits practice, and Greg is a senior manager in our Washington National Tax Credits practice. Welcome, guys.
Hi, Liz. Great to talk to you today.
It's a pleasure to have you guys here. So today we're going to talk about R&D credits and specifically a new form that taxpayers need to fill out and what that means. So before we jump into specifics, we'll start high level. The R&D is a business tax credit and it's meant to encourage spending on U.S. research and development. Business development for new or improved product, processes, software, all count for this. And the credit is meant to incentivize spending and offset the risk associated with the technical unknowns and challenges that come with research and development. We see a lot of financial institutions developing software, and that process has the technical challenges and unknowns, which can lead to R&D credits. Historically, taxpayers claim these credits by completing and attaching Form 6765 to their returns. Could be an original return, an amended return, but claiming the credit requires the form. Starting for tax year 2024, that form receives some pretty major facelift components. So Vince and Greg are going to talk us through today the changes to the form and some of the things that our bank taxpayers may want to bear in mind as they navigate through the R&D credit filing. So Vince, why don't we start with you? And you can just take us through, to start with, what changed on the form and why should taxpayers care and pay attention to this?
Thanks, Liz. Great intro and giving an overview on the credit. And recently, we've had some updates on the Form 6765. And I think it's very timely to circle back. So for the last 35 years, the Form 6765 has really just been a calculation worksheet. Basically, how much you spend this year, how much did you spend in prior years, what have your gross receipts been historically, and then you calculate a credit. These changes to the form mark a significant departure from that model and require taxpayers to provide a bit more detail on how basically the credit is calculated. Effective for tax year 24, taxpayers will need to complete sections E and F, and recent development is that starting in tax year 26, they also need to complete Section G. Originally, Section G was set to become effective for the tax year 2025. But as I said recently, the IRS on October 1st announced it was postponing the effective date for a year. So we'll talk a little bit more on Section G later. But Section E, that was applicable for 2024 tax year and is moving forward. Section G is a general information section where you outline the total number of business components, officer wages claimed towards the credit, any acquisitions or dispositions, new categories of expenses claimed towards the credit, and if the taxpayer used LB&I's ASC 730 directive. Now, Section G breaks down the research expenses by cost bucket. The traditional breakout of wages, supplies, contract research, and computer rentals.
Vince, as far as sections E and F, the ones the taxpayers are currently contending with, I think what we've been noticing with these sections is that while they require a little bit of extra effort on behalf of the taxpayers to complete, generally it's information that the taxpayers already have on hand. There are a couple questions that might require a little bit more due diligence as far as how to answer, specifically what portion of wage QREs is comprised of officer wages. That's going to be a state-by-state determination depending on where the entity is incorporated. And to figure out who their officers are, they're going to have to take a look at state laws. But aside from that, the information is fairly straightforward as far as how many business components are being claimed. What folks seem to be most focused on right now is Section G that's going to be mandatory starting next year. So tax year 26, processing year 27. And that's for most taxpayers. I'll preface this by saying that on October 1st, like Vince mentioned, the IRS delayed implementation of this section. It was originally supposed to apply to tax years 2025. And that's likely due to pushback and questions the service has been getting from taxpayers. The IRS is currently accepting comments on Section G through March 31st of 2026. And just as a caveat to everything that's about to be said, it is possible we will see additional changes to either Section G's information request or just the effective date of Section G. But barring any of those changes, Section G will be required starting in tax year 2026 for most taxpayers. There are a few that are left off the hook from completing Section G, specifically qualified small businesses that claim the credit towards a payroll tax credit, and taxpayers with qualified research expenses not exceeding $1.5 million, but also averaging gross receipts not exceeding $50 million for the prior 3 years. So depending on the detail the taxpayers collect throughout the course of a normal research credit review process, the Section G will be easier or more difficult to complete. On Section G, for original returns, taxpayers are required to list either 50 total business components or business components that comprise at least 80% of their total reported research expenses. They'll get to report the lesser of the two. And then once those business components are listed, taxpayers are going to need to specify the type of business component. So think product, think process, think others. If it's software, they're going to have to designate the type of software. And then finally, once those business components are listed, taxpayers are going to need to break out the expense types for each of those business components between wages, supplies, contract research, and computer rentals. And to the extent the business components are comprised of wage research expenses, they're going to have to further break out direct performance of R&D, direct support of R&D, or direct supervision of R&D. And then if that weren't enough, taxpayers who are completing Section G on an amended return are also going to have to fill out a field designated information sought to be discovered. It's a little vague what that section exactly is supposed to mean just yet, but there is going to be a qualitative descriptive component to the list that's being provided in Section G.
I mean, 50 projects can turn into a lot of work. And then you layer in with amended returns, the complications with the CCM that also applies to amended returns. Seems like a lot, right, Greg?
That's right. And again, the IRS is still accepting comments, so it remains to be seen exactly how that's rolled out at this time. And it's not going to be effective until tax year 2026. So we do still have time to wrap our arms around it, but it could potentially be a lot of work. And it is a good idea for taxpayers to start planning how they're going to address some of these items now, so they're not caught flat-footed next year.
It does sound like a lot of work, but and a lot more information than we typically see put on a return. So to me, it sounds like a lot of information that taxpayers would previously have provided as part of an exam.
Yeah, Liz, for sure. I mean, the stated goal of the IRS is that the information allows them to basically risk assess claims. For instance, if all of a taxpayer's qualified research expenditures are generated by officers, that might draw some scrutiny. But I do agree, it's a lot of information that aligns mostly with what we would normally see in an exam.
Vince, I should mention on the risk assessment claim, that's been the IRS's stated goal. They want to be able to identify high risk areas. For instance, if a majority of your wage expenses are being generated by officers, that might raise some eyebrows on behalf of the service. But to be completely transparent, it's a bit of a black box, and we're not entirely sure just yet how the IRS intends to use this additional information.
Are these new sections on the form impacted by related entities, banks that are part of a controlled group?
That's a great question, Liz. A lot of our taxpayers and clients have very complicated structures. And as you know, taxpayers with sufficiently centralized common ownership are required to calculate the R&D credits on a group basis. So different lines of the calculation will sometimes use filing entity figures, while others will use group figures. Taxpayers should consult the instructions in their tax return preparer to ensure those are filled out correctly. But that said, to the extent that groups file separate returns, sections E, F, and G will only report the filing entity's information rather than the group's total. For example, section F will report only the filing entity's QREs, and Section G will report only the filing entity's business components, either 80% or the 50 business components for that filing entity.
Vince, we should mention that while the new sections don't require the group's total information, taxpayers claiming credits that are part of a controlled group but not filing on a consolidated basis will need to attach a controlled group statement that breaks out the expenses and credits of each of the controlled group members. And while taxpayers are likely used to including a statement, this statement is very specific on its naming convention and the information that needs to be included. All of that is listed in the Form 6765 instructions, but just wanted to draw attention to that because taxpayers shouldn't be taking the same as last year approach with this statement.
Good advice. And is there anything else that taxpayers should bear in mind when they're completing the new form?
Yes, definitely, Liz. Section G is specific instructions for taxpayers that use the LB&I's ASC 730 directive or statistical sampling to support their credit claims. And as Greg mentioned earlier, Section G requires taxpayers to list either 80% of their business components or their largest 50, whichever is less. So QREs associated with ASC 730 count as one business component. So if your directive QREs make up at least 80% of your total claimed expenses, you will not need to break out your remaining business components individually. Now, for stat sampling, Section G needs to be completed with your largest business components, regardless of whether or not they were selected for review from the sampling frame. So this is going to require taxpayers to extrapolate their QREs to business components before they're able to actually complete Section G.
Definitely a lot to keep in mind, and can certainly see the changes in what's going on this form. What are some things that you recommend taxpayers do to begin preparing for all of this?
While it might be a bigger lift than taxpayers are used to, there are absolutely things they can be doing now proactively to prepare themselves for these increased informational requirements. First and foremost, taxpayers should really be considering how they're collecting information on the front end. Do they have time tracking? Do they use time surveys? How detailed is their accounting information? Really understanding how their data is structured and planning on the identification of research expenses on that basis is really going to help complying with Section G make it much more streamlined, specifically listing out those expenses by business component. Second, taxpayers might need to reevaluate how they're defining their business components. For some taxpayers, that might be a fairly straightforward process, but for others that have historically taken, say, a cost center basis or an employee-based approach to quantifying their research expenses, they'll want to think about how they can layer in a business component element to make sure they're listing those business components in Section G, but also allocating expenses appropriately. And then third, and this relates to my earlier point, that taxpayers should consider looking at their documentation, specifically documentation that lends itself to ingestion, analysis, export using AI tools. I think this goes without saying that AI tools, and everybody's familiar with this, are getting more sophisticated, more advanced, feels like on a daily basis. So to the extent documentation can be loaded into some of these tools, and the tools can then be used to export information in a format that's consistent with Section G, that could be a very powerful tool.
Those are some really great points, Greg. Between these changes to the Form 6765 and the General Counsel memo from a few years ago, specifically related to the R&D refund claims, it seems like the IRS does not intend to relax these requirements anytime soon. And to help taxpayers adjust to these changes, the IRS, I mean, obviously has updated the Form 6765 instructions to align with the new form, and it does issue periodic press releases. KPMG also issues summaries and articles relating to new developments and research credit substantiation and best practices, but we encourage all of our clients and taxpayers to work with, you know, either KPMG or your tax professionals to navigate this increasingly complex compliance landscape.
This has been really helpful, you guys. It's good to understand exactly what's going on with the new form. We have a few minutes left. So with that, are there any other parting thoughts you want our listeners to walk away from this conversation understanding?
First and foremost, hire KPMG.
Okay, we'll start there. Anything else?
In all seriousness, this is going to take some time to get used to, and there is increased documentation requirements. That being the case, banking clients may want to consider seeking outside assistance to support in their compliance efforts.
I think that's the right answer, Greg. I mean, the new Form 6765 is definitely going to require information taxpayers haven't historically provided with their tax filings, like expense breakouts, business component information, et cetera. But planning for those requirements now and establishing a documentation plan and a methodology that will allow for easy transition to Section G on 26 returns is going to make it all that much easier.
Documentation, early and often. That sounds like great advice. Thank you both for talking us through this today. I will definitely ask you back and look forward to having you as more guidance comes out, more instructions, more notices, because I think it is a lot for people to navigate. And to our audience, thank you for joining us today. This is Liz Lamadou on behalf of KPMG's Banking and Capital Markets Tax Practice. I look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks for listening to In the Vault with KPMG. Be sure to subscribe to this series to be notified of new episodes.